Hello and welcome to episode number 12 of the Dice Guys for December 3rd, 2011. I had to think about that for a second. Today on the Infected Edition of the Dice Guys, Jason and Mike are discussing gamification again because yes, we like it because
we
it's
like it.
Turning life into fun. And also we're discussing dumbass opinions about elitist game ideas.
Yeah, you shouldn't have read that as it was written.
Well, I did. You wrote it down.
I did.
Okay. And we have our game picks of the week. And as also, always, we have Brain Flakes. Brain Flakes, still crunchy in milk after 12 episodes. After last week when we didn't have an episode. It's really crunchy. It's a lot of fiber. It's more fiber than this table that I'm sitting at right now. You might not want to eat it. It's too much fiber.
And eventually this intro ends.
We'll hit the dang button for the theme song.
No, man. Trying to kill me.
All right, Mike, how'd your week go?
Oh, my God. Oh. My week has been, well, 2 weeks, actually, because we skipped last week because
oh,
of
yeah.
Thanksgiving.
We're covering 2 whole weeks.
Covering 2 whole weeks of me being sick.
Oh,
basically.
God, yes.
Yeah. Excuse me. I see that's part of it there. So.
And I'm fighting this desperately. I've got it a little bit.
So during the course of this, you're probably going to hear a little bit of this and maybe a little bit of this because I am trying to eat mint truffle kisses and drink lemonade to keep my throat from being really scratchy so I can talk.
Yeah.
And everything. But I'm on the tail end of it. It's just that all the bronchial tubes are still inflamed and it's clearing all the junk out and blah, 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 blah. So basically that's what I've been doing is that a lot of sleep and work because I have to catch them asleep. Oh, I did some more audio editing classwork. Finished up some things on that and I haven't heard back on the last test files or whatever. But it's been fun.
Cool.
And let's see what else. That's pretty much it. Think of anything else I've really been doing.
Only thing I've been doing.
Excuse me.
Guess what I've been doing, Mike?
You have been working.
Well, that.
You've
but what
been,
have I been doing with my free time, Mike?
You've been playing Skyrim, because I can see the helmet you're wearing.
I wish! Yeah, Skyrim. Okay, there have been some naysayers out there. I've read some stuff from people who were like, oh, I can't believe everybody thinks Skyrim's so awesome and all this kind of stuff. And the comments that they're making tell me that they're trying to play this just like any other first-person shooter or something like that. Folks, this isn't that kind of game. Learn to play Skyrim. Okay? You literally, you need
you're
to
doing
pick,
it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. And I know, I hate those kind of comments, too. You should be able to play a game any way you want to. But the way you want to play this game to survive is when you level up, you get to pick perks that you put, you know, things in that give you these talents. Pick 3 of these and focus on them in the beginning. And at least one of them should be your armor type, folks. And if you can do that, then you're going to survive. But if you start spreading these things out among all your different skills, you're going to die. Get it through your head, okay? I've been having a blast playing this game, and I shouldn't play it as much as I do. Obviously, I should be getting more sleep because I'm trying not to get Mike's infectious, like, plague.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, I even actually have given it to people over the internet, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. So people he's talked to over the internet have gotten sick, so...
I don't know how.
Congratulations on listening to this. Start taking antibiotics now.
I don't know how it works, but yeah, a couple of people said that after they talked to me online, they got sick. So yeah, it's an actual virus going through the internet.
Yeah.
And infecting people.
There is absolutely no evidence to verify that other than the fact that it's happening.
It's entirely anecdotal.
Yes.
So.
All right.
But yeah, anyway.
So let's talk about things that are kind of cool and that we would love to do, but may never pull ourselves away from Skyrim to actually do. And that's a little society thing that you discovered.
And it is our first brain flake.
Yep. Brain flakes.
Brain flakes.
That's awesome. I love the fact that your throat's messed up. I can't wait for the science bit.
Brain flakes.
All right. Our first brain flake. Tell folks about this.
I found the Cardboard Tube Fighting League.
This is awesome. This is like, okay. I used to belong to a group called the Society for Creative Anachronism, where we would recreate medieval combat. And this is actually hitting each other with sticks while wearing armor and stuff, and it hurt and bruised you a lot. And at our age, you don't recover from bruises as fast, so it's not wise to do that anymore.
Back in the day, also, I kind of wanted to get into it, but I had a lot of other things I was doing, college and everything, and I didn't have a lot of money to be putting into chainmail.
Yeah, let me tell you, you still got injured, and as fun as it was... it was painful. So the idea of the cardboard tube fighting league is appealing to me.
Yeah.
It means I can still go out there and fight.
And you can get a whole arsenal every Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or after a birthday party.
Well, in all actuality, the league supplies the cardboard tube so that they are all uniform.
Correct. Yeah.
You can't modify the tube.
But it is as it says on the wiki page, they are a global organization hosting cardboard tube-based events. I wonder if they play music through the cardboard tubes.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
In Seattle, Washington, San Francisco, California, and Sydney, Australia. Mm-hmm. And they host tournaments and battles where fighters go head-to-head and attempt to break their opponent's tube without breaking their own.
Right. Now, the idea is not to beat up your opponent, but actually to beat up their tube.
Beat up the tube. Yeah, it's kind of strange. But anyway.
Yeah, well, they don't want people getting injured. Yeah. And slapping somebody in the face with the end of a cardboard tube can be dangerous.
Can be painful and dangerous. And stabbing people with them, too. That's against the rules.
Yeah, you can't thrust.
No thrusting with your tube. Slaps upside the head. My brother and I could not play this.
You and I couldn't play this. Tell them what we used to do, Mike, in lieu of cardboard tubes.
Well, you know, when we were growing up, we didn't have a lot of money for cardboard tubes.
Yeah, that's it.
No, I don't know. No, but we actually had...
I actually attributed it to brain damage.
Brain damage could be it. But yeah, you had a sword.
Real one.
A real sword, and I had a real staff.
Mm-hmm.
And
you had a really nice one. I feel bad about destroying it, by the way.
Yeah, you did destroy it at one point, but I got another one. So
yep,
and beat you up. So, but yeah, we would fight sword and staff in the front yards, in the backyards, on the roofs of our houses,
out in the woods.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's probably a lot more dangerous than playing with cardboard tubes.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I do not recommend what we did, especially the on top of houses thing. It's absolutely amazing that we are both still alive and sitting here to talk to you today, especially with all of our limbs intact.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, I never broke a bone. I think you broke a couple.
So. Yeah, it's too long a list to detail here, actually. But suffice it to say, I've dislocated almost every single joint in my body, and I've broken not most of my bones, but a lot of bones.
So, yeah, but apparently the Cardboard Tube Fighting League started in Seattle in around 2007, and now they're basically kind of almost worldwide. They, in Washington, D.C., too, they've talked about it. I'd like to see the senators and congressmen kind of take on each other with cardboard tubes.
Well, we're heading into dangerous territory here because we're not supposed to discuss politics, but yeah, that'd be awesome.
They got a rule list on their wiki page. I'll put a link to this in our show notes so that anybody can go check it out and join in the fun if you want to go join in the fun.
Yeah, I mean, they've got places where you can contact them, all that kind of stuff. They even have a waiver online that you have to get event participants to sign, basically, so that nobody can be held liable if somebody trips and breaks their ankle or puts an eye out, sits on a tube wrong, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's other games out there. You found one about some interesting things the Japanese are doing.
Right. Since, I mean, this is basically, we called this our infected edition because of you and your plague. But it's actually more of our gamification edition because we're talking about gamifying all sorts of things. And the ingenious Japanese, once mm-hmm. again, going into territory that nobody else would go into.
They do a lot of that.
They do a whole lot of that, and some of it's rather distasteful. But this is kind of interesting. They have created what they call urinal games.
Okay.
And it's basically, there's a screen behind a thick protective piece of glass.
Because you might miss.
Because, just because people are nasty. to be honest. But there are sensors inside the urinal. There's a start button sensor. There's a sensor for left and right. And these games can be anything from a maze game to a pub trivia game, all racing games, all sorts of stuff like that. And you use your urine stream to initiate the game and then the left-right buttons to control the game. The games last an average of 45 seconds, and they are even enabled so that you can go on your iPhone and post your high scores and stuff. Yeah. So, I don't see that being abused at all.
So what do you plug your phone into the urinal
it's Bluetooth connected. You can connect it wirelessly. Yeah. it's an odd idea. It's kind of an interesting idea. They have mentioned that cleanup in the bathrooms has been much easier since these things have been implemented mm-hmm. because guys are actually aiming for the urinal and not just randomly peeing in the general direction of the urinal. They're actually having to aim their streams. Not only does it have the ability to clean up our environment and make guys more conscious about what they're doing while they're peeing, but it gives them something to do other than feeling uncomfortable while trying not to glance at the dude's junk next to him.
You went there.
Just saying.
You went there.
Urinals are uncomfortable, man.
So I always go in the stall. Because I don't like the urinals. I'm sorry. So.
All right. Yeah. So let's do an awkward segue into the next thing.
Well, there's no really segue into this. It's just that we're stating that we're not making a best of list for 2011.
Yeah, okay. Best of lifts. Lifts. Best of lists at most are BS.
Yeah, I think so too.
This is one person or a group of people's opinion on what's best for that year, and there are going to be thousands of dissenting opinions.
There's going to be hundreds of these lists, and the game sites all across the internet have already started the game lists. Some of them started last month.
And most of them are voted on by hobby gamers, so people who like to play family or party games. You know, the lists don't apply to them.
Yeah. And, you know, we could do a list of top 2011 family games to try to differentiate, but, you know, we like the other games too, so...
Yeah, I just don't see it being a viable thing for us. You know, if people want to know our opinions on what the best games are, number one, they can go through our game picks of the week.
Yeah.
Or two, they can just ask us, and I'll be happy to tell you which games I really like.
Yeah. And, you know, the game picks of the week, I mean, we don't really pick those because they're necessarily the best.
No, we just pick them
because they're fun. and we think that that people will like them. You know, that they may not everybody will like them, but that's why we explain and describe what they are, and then you can go online and see what they look like and buy them if you want. So don't expect, basically what we're saying is, don't expect a top 10 list or whatever of games from us.
Right.
You're going
to
get...
You want to know what our top games are?
Just go to a website.
Send us an email, ask in the comments. And while we probably won't give you a list of 10 games or something, we'll give you the, you know, games that we enjoy the most.
Mm-hmm. And we might ask you
and
some questions.
And they probably won't be for just this year, because we have a tendency to... You know,
cover all the games, all the years. And likely if you do ask us, we're probably going to ask you first what kind of things you like. And then we'll make suggestions based on that rather than just throw some games at you. And
or you can just include that information from the get-go.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, why would we want to recommend, say, a superhero-based game to you if you don't like guys in spandex? You know? I love guys in spandex.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well,
and if you have questions about Mike's sexuality, well, keep them to yourself. That's really none of your business.
Oh, man. Excuse me. All right. Speaking of spandex, which was developed by science, we do have a science prank flag for this week.
And?
It's science! Hey, I think
that's
kinda...
almost there, Mike. That's pretty good.
I almost hit it. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently,
chocolate and lemonade seems to be doing the trick.
Chocolate and lemonade. If any of you out there are sick with sort of laryngitis, kind of cold,
or if you get sick after listening to this podcast,
I'm telling you, mint truffle, chocolate kisses, and agave life water lemonade from Sobe. It's awesome for the throat. I'm just saying. So I'm not
a
doctor.
It would be nice if we got some sponsorship deals out of
this. Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
So Hershey's, chocolate kisses.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on this podcast.
That's right.
So our science flake for the week is the Curiosity launch.
Yeah, the probe going to Mars.
Yeah, NASA launched the Curiosity, the Mars space launcher. Our lab, and I'm going to bring up some information about it right here because I don't remember all the details, and okay. I want to. The Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Pasadena, California, built this thing. It's the Mars Science Laboratory. It is designed to roll over obstacles up to 65 centimeters or 25 inches high and travel about 600 feet per day. That doesn't sound very fast, but on the surface of Mars...
Well, not to mention it's doing testing while it's doing
it. It's doing testing. It's drilling into the dirt. It's drilling into rocks. It's shaving rocks. It's pulling up information. And the main thing that it's trying to find is evidence of life.
Right.
So it's going to look for bacterial fossils and other things.
Yeah, it's doing it through core samples and even surface samples of the planet. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea, and it's actually going even better than they expected.
Yeah, first they thought they weren't that it wasn't gonna launch.
Yeah, well, they missed their launch window because of the weather problems, and they figured, okay, we're just gonna have to make some adjustments to the trajectory along the way. But it turns out that even though they launched late, the beginning is right on target.
Yeah, so
the first stages are great.
Yeah, and so basically the first course correction that they thought they were going to have to do doesn't have to be done now until late December, early January now, instead of like yesterday or something.
Yeah, we've talked about this. We're not thrilled with the fact that manned space program is basically dead in the water for the moment.
Yeah.
That everything is robotic. But... positive note, space exploration is still going on.
Yeah. Yeah. But at some point, I think they're going to have to send people to Mars because
awesome would that be? Well, be know, the first person to step on Mars?
It would be awesome. And, you know, robots are fine. Robots can do a lot. In fact, robots can do a lot that humans can't. But what robots can't do that humans can do is capture the imagination of children and other people that just don't get robots.
Right.
You know, robots are great for geeks like us. We love robots.
Yeah, you didn't have kids that were sitting there dreaming about working in mission control, sending a robot to space. You had kids dreaming about going to space.
Yeah.
All right, and it's going to be the same thing in the future. kids want are going to be dreaming about the idea of being an astronaut, floating mm-hmm. in space, looking down on our planet, going to alien planets.
Singing David Bowie songs.
Singing David Bowie songs while floating around, lost in space. Yeah, I don't think they're quite dreaming about that. But anyway, unless they're twisted like we were. But they're not going to be dreaming about sitting in mission control, listening to a robot electronically sing David Bowie songs.
Yeah, probably not. And, you know, some will. But you know, the point is that humans bring the humanity to it. I mean, you know, it's
simple sounds, way of putting it.
Sounds redundant, but it really
that makes sense.
It really will push in. And yes, it's dangerous. And yes, people could die and everything. But you know, that's the story of exploration throughout history. Yeah, is the danger and everything.
Lewis and Clark could have died.
And you know, and we know that there's no Martians on Mars, so you know, it's not like you know they're going to chop off their heads like Magellan or something.
Unless they're hiding deep inside the planet.
Yeah, they could be. You know, and you know, I've always had this idea that there's actually like thousands of Martians, and as the rovers go by, they kind of stand behind the camera, and when the camera comes around, they all kind of move, so they're always behind the camera.
Shuffle.
You know, and there are people in the lab.
So what we really need is a microphone on there as well, so we can hear the little shuffling,
or a 360 degree camera. Yeah. So until they get a 360 degree camera. We ain't going to see the Martians, man, because they're all standing behind.
Awesome ideas. Okay.
Well, that's the brain flakes for this week.
That's the brain flakes for this week.
Yeehaw, I got snake ass.
Well, Christmas is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have lots of families getting together and stuff. So I thought I would pick a game that really could appeal to family. It definitely appeals to my family. So I'm just going to go with a very narcissistic view that it's going to appeal to all of yours as well.
Okay. I've actually never played this game.
Really?
Really.
Well, you played it on, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was you. Played the electronic version on the console.
The electronic version I've played, but I've never played the board game version.
Yeah.
And it is?
Cranium. It is an awesome game, a great party game. It basically, I mean, I can run it down pretty quick. It's a game that involves a bunch of different types of game forms, from charades to Pictionary. You model things out of clay or Play-Doh. They don't call it Play-Doh because that would require licensing. And there are trivia questions. It is... There are multiple ways to play it, and everybody can pick their own strengths and weaknesses and all that kind of stuff. They can go for the type of thing that they enjoy the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blast. It is a whole lot of fun. The whole family can get into it, and you can play in teams so that if you have somebody that doesn't like doing the charade stuff, you can get somebody else on the team to do it. Yay!
That's good.
Yeah, but it's a fairly quick game. Each game lasts 30 to 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, it's a very family friendly game. It's good for entry level gamers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a party game and a lot of fun.
Okay.
And that's my game pick of the week, Cranium.
Excellent.
We'll have a link to it. Show notes.
Mm. Cool.
DiceGuys.com. We don't say that often enough. TheDiceGuys.com.
TheDiceGuys.com. Cranium probably wouldn't be on a list of the favorites of the article that we read that brought up our next topic.
Yeah. Cranium would definitely be one of the games that he considered to be signs of the death of board gaming.
Death of board gaming.
Just pathetic.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not nice. I should reword the way I'm saying this, because we are not attacking the gentleman who whose article we read. We've read multiple comments, articles and blog posts that
there's things
that have said basically the same thing, but they're all coming from the same point of view.
All similar point of view, and this is just the last one we ended up on that we're so you might hear or recognize some lines if you're around the net. And just to reiterate, this isn't about this one article. This is about the general mindset that board games are dying.
Right. And they're not.
No, they definitely can't be.
Board games are continuing to see an uprise.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman in his article mentions that, I believe it was in his article, mm-hmm. that mentions that board games, the golden age of board games, was during the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my thought is, we're in another depression. They don't want to call it that. They're afraid of calling it that. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're in. And from the mid-90s, board games have, the sales on board games have been increasing. People playing board games have been increasing. And that hasn't stopped. We're not out of this depression yet, and people are still looking for economical ways of entertaining themselves and taking their mind off the fact that, you know, their wallet's sitting over there lonely.
Mm-hmm. You have a game, you can pick up the game for, you know, 30, 40 bucks.
Yeah, even if you're spending $60 on the game, you've got how many hours of play out of that? You know, yeah. How many times are you going to replay that game? You take your whole family out to a movie and dinner, you're going to spend well over $60, and you're going to get 3-4 hours of entertainment.
Yeah.
Total.
So obviously, economical-wise, it's a better deal.
Right.
You know. Well, and the other thing that, I mean, he starts out in his article talking about Target and how he was in Target and he saw all these games.
His big thing is about Target and Walmart not carrying hobby
games. Big box games. Big box stores.
Big box stores not carrying the hobby games.
Not carrying the hobby games, which isn't exactly true, because in his very article he has a picture that's showing Settlers of Catan, Ticket to Ride, and there's other things he mentions were there that are hobby games, and they're mm-hmm. at Target. Target, maybe we get another sponsor here. Target has a good game section.
Out of the two major big box stores, which are mm-hmm. Target and Walmart, if you're looking for games that aren't your standard fare, your Monopoly, you know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, Clue,
yeah.
That sort of thing, then your next step up is to go to Target.
Target has
a wider range. It's still not game store.
No, it's not. But it
because that's not what it's trying to be.
It's not trying to be that. And that's where I think articles like this one that we were looking at fail, mm-hmm. in that they're trying to look at the rise in board games means there has to be more hobby games in a big box store. And that's not true. In a store, you want to cater to whatever your clientele is.
Right.
And if your clientele is not made up of hobby gamers, and Target is not,
mm-hmm.
then you're not going to carry a lot of hobby games.
Grandma going into Walmart is not going to be sold on picking up Arkham Horror
mm-hmm.
or, you know, Adventurer's Pyramids of Horus to buy for her grandson for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to be looking at the things that she's familiar with.
Yeah.
Monopoly, Clue, Risk. Mm-hmm. Even Axis and Allies, you know, I mean.
And one thing that's put down in this particular article is all the licensed versions of those games. You have Monopoly, James Bond Monopoly, Beatles Monopoly.
He specifically mentions like Lord of the Rings Stratego.
There's variations of Risk. And the licensing on these games is pretty much another reason that it's actually growing. You know, people nowadays, a kid, you know, does it matter whether he plays Operation or if he plays
Star Wars Operation? I just saw that the other
yeah,
day.
Or yeah, or some, you know, it's still operating
an R2-D2. Kind of funny.
Yeah, it's still Operation. It's still the same motor control type game,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a fun way to build up the franchise.
Yeah.
That's actually a growth because people are buying them.
Well, his basic idea in this article seems to be that since these big box stores aren't carrying the hobby games like he expects them to, that we can't be in this great age of board games, that we can't be in the golden age, we can't be, and we're definitely not saying we're in the golden age of board games, mm-hmm. but he's saying that as long as these games aren't in Target or Walmart, that we're looking at the death of board gaming, that board gaming is dying. And it's really?
Yeah, the family games are part of the board game thing, too. That's the whole reason for our podcast. So basically the point being that if you come across an article like this that's saying that games aren't growing or games are dying, or anything like that. Read it with a more critical eye and just make sure.
Look at it and see if maybe they're not just a hobby gamer who's feeling just a little bit elitist and trying to say that if the game, if this big box store isn't carrying the kind of games I like, then gaming is obviously going down the tubes.
Yeah, and that's not the case. It just means people, you know, the majority of people may not like the games you like.
Yeah, it may mean that your taste sucks.
You know, a lot of people out there read Twilight.
Right? Yeah. So. Hey, yeah, book sales are up, but, you know, if you discount Twilight, then books are dying.
Yeah,
that's, there's still a lot of people reading Twilight.
Well, speaking of hobby games, I have actually picked a kind of a hobby game for my game pick of the week.
Awesome.
And my game pick of the week is a game, a little card game called Gloom. Now, I'm going to come clean here. I haven't actually played the game. Now, this is not new.
It's another one of those things.
Now, there's a reason, though, that I haven't played the game yet, because I've been sick. I haven't really had a lot of people around to actually really play the game.
Yeah, he's only been infecting me.
And people on the internet. So, but, you know, after reading the rules and sort of setting it out myself and doing like that and everything, I can tell this is going to be a fun game, okay? Mm-hmm. And part of the reason the game picks of the week aren't necessarily, you know, games that we've played or games whatever. They're just games that we find that we think are fun. You should look into them for yourself.
Right.
And I think this is definitely one of them, especially if you're emo.
Or if you just enjoy playing games about emos.
About emos. Gloom is made up of a card deck that has four families. The four families are very gothic, emo-looking type things. There's a family from a strange circus of weirdos. There's an Addams Family type family. There's a couple of other ones. There's a family of undead people. And basically, you get a family, you lay the cards out in front of you. Each card has kind of these fun little, was it Edward Gorey, the artist that did the artwork for the old mystery
series
and everything. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of weird line art, gloomy line art type drawings, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you lay the family out, and then you proceed to play cards on them that affect how gloomy they are. So
the object being to get them as gloomy as possible.
Correct. The object is to get them as many negative points as possible before they die, and then kill them off, and you get those negative points. And whoever has it in the game, the most negative points wins. Because you're the
most
emo.
So this is a happy, cheery Christmas game.
It is a happy, cheery Christmas game. For my Christmases, yes, I like it. So now it's got an interesting part to the game. The cards are transparent. So basically what happens is you have little sayings underneath the name of the person, and you have little sayings on the cards, and you have points and different symbols on the cards. Now, as you play them on top of your character's cards, they cover up things and reveal other things. So you might get multiple points, or a negative 12 might turn into a positive 5 based on how the transparencies are laying on top of one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this causes a problem, though, because you have to play this on probably a pretty light colored table with
a very strong light source.
With, you know, and don't play it in the dark. Even though it's a gloomy card game, don't play it in the dark, because it's kind of hard to see the cards sometimes. Because they're transparencies. And
if you have old eyes like us, reading that little print on through two layers of cards. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a caveat, but it's such a cool mechanic.
Yeah.
That
great concept.
Yeah. That's part of why I picked this, because it's an innovative way of laying cards on top of one another and seeing how they come out in points. So Gloom, the name of the game is Gloom. We'll have a link to it on our site if you can't find it at your friendly local game store. Otherwise, pick it up there, because they'd love your business this Christmas, sure.
Uh-huh, definitely. Yep. Need to keep those
places going. And you won't find
it
at a big box store.
You will not find it at Target or Walmart, so, you know, board games are dying. Anyway, So we come to our final point tonight.
Yeah, we'll try to keep this one a little bit short, but we talked about this before, and that's gamification.
Gamification.
Well, you know, it's probably good. If board games are dying, then we need to turn the rest of the world into games, right?
That's all right. Look, guys, our belief, our basic goal, our motto, whatever, is that life should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
We should be enjoying it. We do not subscribe to the theory that suffering brings us closer to God, Allah, the Buddha, whatever. Yeah. We believe that life should be enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And that can very well include turning everyday tasks into games.
Yeah, and one of the things that brought this back on to us again was you found a video.
Volkswagen decided to do a little experiment on what they call funification.
Mm-hmm.
There was a subway exit entrance that had an escalator and a set of stairs. And they noticed that most people were taking the escalator.
Probably 99%.
Yeah. So they decided to turn the stairs into a giant piano so that each step that you stepped on played a different note. And they were trying to determine that if they made the stairs more fun to walk on, if that would change people's attitudes and make them take the healthier option of actually using the stairs. 66% more people took the stairs after they turned them into a piano.
Mm-hmm.
This just shows the importance of fun in your life. We need fun. We're drawn to having fun.
And if that fun happens to make you move a little more,
makes you be a little bit healthier,
people do it. There's a site out there, it's been around for a while, called Photocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you kind of register the exercises and walking and such that you do that day, and you get points.
Yeah, kind of like experience points in a role-playing game. You level up.
And now, I'm not really into that because I'm not so competitive, but a lot of people who are competitive are on that Photocracy site, and they're exercising and doing things. So it's gaming, but turning things into a game, making it a little more fun. And right. Then there was the success of the Wii a couple of years ago.
Right, absolutely. Console gamers specifically, but even other people were poo-pooing the Wii. Yeah,
they didn't get it. You know,
yeah.
They thought it doesn't have as good graphics as the other systems. It's not really an upgrade from the Nintendo, you know, the other one.
The GameCube stuff. All they did was add motion control. And guess what, guys?
Motion control did it.
Yeah, we outsold the other consoles.
For a long time. And you couldn't get one at the store. They were selling out so fast.
And the next thing you know, PlayStation comes out with the Move. Xbox 360 comes out with the Kinect. These are all awesome things.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, we're in support of all of them. We're not putting anyone down for being late to the game or anything like that. We're just saying, you know, you make certain activities more fun, people are more likely to do them.
Yeah, yeah.
I personally am looking to get a Kinect so that I can add more physical activity to my life, because sitting on my ass in front of Skyrim is not doing it.
Yeah. And I'm looking to get more rubber bands. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Yeah. So
I'm just going to leave that one.
Just to shoot the monkeys.
So gamification, if you want to do any research on it, there's a lot of information out there on it.
Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of game theorists and stuff.
And it runs the gamut from gamification of fitness, gamification of everyday items like those staircases, gamification of education.
Yeah, and even household tasks, turning doing dishes into a game.
Yeah. A lot of people do that on their own, but this is becoming more and more out there. Has something to do.
Yeah, and there are more resources to give you ideas.
And, you know, who knows? Maybe with so many things turned into games, there won't be so many games to buy, and the board games will die.
And then all these guys will be proven right.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But I hope they aren't, because I like buying games.
I love board games. Mine's overflowing my game closet now. I'm so happy. Mm-hmm,
we're going to have to get another closet.
Yep.
Then you can come out of it.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'm the one with the worry there. But anyway.
And on that note, leave any kind of comments you want to on our website. We might answer, we might not.
Yeah. Just have a little understanding on this edition, because we do have infection going on here. Yeah. And
until next week.
Should be our caveat. Yeah.
Yeah, until next week.
Keep rolling those dice.
Keep rolling the dice.
No, man. Trying to kill me.